Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. You may be surprised to see that the pyramids are white today. After all, we usually stay with green from the Sunday after the baptism of our Lord up until Transfiguration. However, if you take your hymnal and turn to Roman numeral 11 in the beginning of the very front, you see the list of feasts and festivals of the church year. On the opposite page, you see the Sundays of the church year, all of the seasons. Right now, we're in the season of Epiphany. It's the third Sunday after Epiphany. But in addition to the seasons of the church year, there are also these feasts and festivals. The festivals are about the life of Jesus. So next week is, on February 2nd, is a festival, the Purification of Mary and the Presentation of Our Lord, when it will still be white. But today is a feast, meaning which is a celebration or commemoration or remembrance of one of the saints who went before us. In this case, Titus, who is one of Paul's companions. The feasts are certainly not as special as Christmas or Easter or even Reformation Day. But it is still a day when we remember a saint of God who went before us and rests from his labors. There isn't too much that we know about Saint Titus. He was a Gentile. He went with Paul on at least his third missionary journey. And eventually, Paul left him as an overseer, or in today's parlance, a bishop, on the island of Crete in order to organize the Christian communities there by appointing overseers or pastors over the different churches, as well as deacons, elders, basically helping them sign their constitution, as we'd say it today. But as we remember this often overlooked servant of God, we also think about and remember other overlooked servants of Christ today, the many whom he has called to labor in his harvest field, starting with the 72 that we read about in our gospel reading today from Luke chapter 10. And so in our gospel reading, we see this image that Jesus uses of the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. And so there's something in here that stood out to me when I first read it. We see a lot of these agricultural or agrarian images all through Jesus' parables, but this one's a little different from some of the other ones, because at what point in the process is this picking up? It's not at the beginning of the farming season. It's not when the field still needs to be plowed and planted. It's not the middle of the season in the summer when there's a long time yet to wait for the harvest and still more work to do in weeding and debugging and all of this pesticide, whatever it is. No, the work to be done in the field right now is simply to harvest. Everything else has already been done. So in Jesus' metaphor here in Luke chapter 10, the hard work, the plowing, the planting, the watering, the weeding, the waiting, it's already been done. Now all of the grain is standing there in the field ready to be harvested. Who did all of this work in the first place? God. God already did all the hard work. Now he simply looks for the harvest. The seed has been planted by the Holy Spirit. It's tended and nurtured through God's word, God's work within the person's mind and soul. Elsewhere, Paul does talk, and Jesus does talk, about our involvement in these parts of the process, but all the same, the one who is responsible for its success, the one who actually makes it happen, is the same Jesus. The Holy Spirit, working through the Word, plants the seed, waters it, tends it, nurtures it, and now it is ready. All that is left for the Lord's workers to do is to bring in the harvest. And that's where these 72, whom Jesus appoints in Luke chapter 10, come into the story. But what is it that makes them special? They don't have any special training, really. They aren't uniquely qualified to share Jesus' message. Everything that is special, really, about them comes directly from Jesus. They followed him. They listened to his teaching. And so Jesus calls them and appoints them to go before him. He gives them the message to spread that the kingdom of God has come near to you, as he says in verse 8. He gives them the power of the Holy Spirit with which to heal and to share the good news. It all comes from Jesus, not from them. And the same holds true with each and every one of us, that he doesn't call us into his harvest field because of special qualifications that we have. He doesn't demand that his followers receive special training. Some do, but not all. All that is necessary to join in this harvest work that God calls us into is to listen to him, to receive his gifts in his word and sacrament, and to work alongside him, sharing the good news of the kingdom with those around us. Now, some, like Titus, are set apart by God exclusively for that purpose. Pastors and other church workers have an important role to play. We do send missionaries into faraway places to labor in the harvest field among those who probably haven't heard before. Lutheran school teachers have a unique field in which to work as they train children in the faith, but not everyone is called to these unique fields. Your field may just simply be McFarland, or Wamego, or your family, or your neighborhood. You are set apart by God through your baptism as his royal priesthood to labor in the field in the places where he has put you. In 1 Peter 2, Peter talks about you when he says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so you also have been called by God to serve in his harvest as his laborers. You can share the love of God with your neighbor. You can invite someone to come to church with you. You are called into his harvest field, just as the 72 were, just as any church worker is. You are called, but even with all of us, Jesus still tells us that the laborers are few. We can't let the fields sit unharvested forever while the crops rot on the stalk. Simply put, there just aren't enough. When we look at the numbers, there simply aren't enough of the professional church workers in the field. It's humbling to look at those statistics just within our own church body that more pastors these days are retiring each year than seminarians are graduating and receiving first calls. Lutheran day schools struggle to find called teachers because so few are graduating from our universities and going in and putting their names in for a call. We have needs for professional church workers that are not being met. But it also involves us. You also are needed in that field, even if you aren't a professional. You were harvested and brought into his kingdom through the work of someone, Maybe it was a parent, maybe a pastor, teacher, friend, relative. And so God also uses you to harvest others. And God uses you with those whom he has put in your life to share that good news with them. But ultimately, Jesus tells us that we need to pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so we pray that God will call more pastors and teachers and other church workers. We pray that there will be more who join us in that harvest field. We pray that he will give us the strength and courage to join in serving him. And we ultimately pray that this harvest is plentiful, knowing that it will be. Now, lest I leave you with the wrong impression, we do need to go back to whose harvest this really is. Who is it that does all of the hard work? It's not us. You and I are not responsible for everything here. We're not responsible for the harvest. You and I did not make this possible. All of that comes from God. All of that is his free gift through Jesus Christ. He is the one who creates faith. He is the one who provides the harvesters. It is by his grace that we have been brought into his kingdom, and it is by his grace that we are sent out to join in with his laborers in bringing that harvest home. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we serve with one another in his harvest, unto life everlasting. Amen.